Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Viña Concha y Toro's second quarter 2016 results conference call. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded and all participants will be in listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company remarks are completed, there will be a question and answer section. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star 0 to reach the operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of Viña Concha y Toro's management and on information currently available of the company. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Viña Concha y Toro and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now, I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Sebastian Arrazabal, Chief Planning Officer, and Mr. Patricio Garatón, Head of Investor Relations. You may begin your conference.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for your time and being attending the earnings call of Viña Concha y Toro. We will start reviewing the company's results for the second quarter of 2016 and six-month period ended in June 30 of 2016. Initiating the review of the second quarter of 2016 results, we would like to highlight the main milestone for the quarter and the first half of 2016. For the second quarter standout, the growth of 9.9%, registering consolidated sales in terms of value for the quarter and 11.5% for the first half of 2016. Higher commercialized volume of 6.6% in total sales and an accumulative figure of 8.1% for the six-month period. The expansion on EBITDA margin of 170 basis points reaching an 15.5% as percentage over sales and the accumulative figure reached a 14.3% over sales, representing an expansion of 126 basis points. An increase of 32.3% in the net income during the quarter and 29.3% for the first half of 2016. The premiumization of our sales, where premium segments grew 11.1% and 16.9% in export market and domestic market from Chile, respectively in terms of volume, during the first 6 months of 2016. Now I'm leaving Sebastián Arrazabal, which is going to explain you the drivers of growth of the company.
Hi, good morning. Before going through the results of the companies, it is important to highlight the drivers of growth of the company, based on the following four drivers. Concha y Toro has been building an important part of its strategy and subsequently has been capable to collect growth within an industry that is not growing in terms of consumption. In the first driver of growth is the premiumization of our sales. The impact of the premiumization has been a key factor over the growth that the company has reached through the years. The premiumization is a trend that does not come by itself. It's a consequence of the action that the company has had in the previous years. Our premium categories have grown 27% in the 3 years from the 2013 to the 2015. Over the 11% of the total volume and 6% of non-premium categories in terms of volume. During 2016, premium categories have been increases at rates of 11%. The figures that represent 28% over total volumes and 47% over total sales in value. The premium growth has been led by core brands like Casillero del Diablo, a brand from Chile, Bonterra, a premium brand from California, and Trivento Reserve from our subsidiary in Argentina. Each of them an ambassador or a multi-region portfolio of the company. How the company has been capable to do it? Well, see in the following slides. The first clue is the capability of building global brands. The company has been leveraging the premium growth basis on the growth of Casillero del Diablo. Viña Concha y Toro have been capable to build a truly global brand with presence in 147 countries, which have experienced a remarkable growth. Since 2003, Casillero del Diablo has grown 14% per year, from 1 million cases to 5 million cases in 2015. Currently, sales from Casillero del Diablo represent 50% of the total volume sold by the company during 2015, an empirical case of the importance of a strong brand with good positioning, visibility, and recognition. During the first half of 2016, Casillero del Diablo registered an increase of 18 and 16 in terms of value and volume, respectively, as a resultant of corresponding growth in the UK, Chile, Holland, Canada, and China. The second one is the capability of complementing the value proposal with line of wine capable to fulfill the needs of our customers. An important trend that has been gaining momentum, recognition, and value within the industry are the organic wines. Concha y Toro is pleased to own the largest organic winery in the world and lead organic winery in the U.S. called Bonterra. Bonterra is appointing to the organic wine consumption, a market that has been growing at two digits growth in the recent year. Since 2012, Bonterra has grown 13% in volume, being recognized as the hot brand 2016 by Impact in the U.S., collecting a 4.8% of growth during 2016, expecting to get this year over 500,000 cases sold. The major increase were registered in the U.S., Canada, and Sweden during the first 6 months of 2016. The third one is the supplying of iconic varieties. In this case, we are pleased to introduce you to Trivento Reserve, a premium brand for our Argentinian subsidiary, which represents the identity of the Argentinian portfolio and the passion for the Malbec, with an understanding growth of 39% per year since 2012. The 2016 has brought increase of 22% in value and volume as a result of a 58% of growth in the UK. Also, we face a 20% of growth in the US and the introduction of our product in Holland. It's remarkable the positioning of Trivento Reserve in UK market, the Trivento has become the top-selling Malbec in this market. And the last part of the premiumization is the innovation. Considering a wine industry which evolving very fast, with new trends appearing in different countries, a global winery has to be capable to adapt and fulfill the customer needs. In this framework, we would like to present 1,000 Stories, the new launch of Fetzer Vineyards, our California subsidiary, launching during the 2015. 1,000 Stories gave two stories to incorporate the importance of an iconic variety in the Californian history, the Zinfandel, and a super premium wine with its aged in bourbon barrels. Some of that are used in the production of the traditional American spirit. During 2016, 1,000 Stories has collected sales of 34,000 cases, expecting to end this year with sales over 70,000 cases. If we look, the second driver of growth are our distribution subsidiary. The development of our distribution network has been allowing us to supply the most important market of the company while a quite different approach. When the company is 100% of control of its brand, the way in which Conchitoro is doing business makes the difference. Through distribution, the company is closer to the market and our consumers. Currently, the company has 12 distribution subsidiaries. The most iconic case is Conchitoro UK, when it started its operation in 2001. The subsidiary sold 250,000 cases. In 2015, Conchitoro UK sold more than 6.7 million cases, 27 times growth in 15 years. Through the UK subsidiary, Conchitoro has been capable to collect important milestones such as top-selling Cabernet Sauvignon, the top-selling Malbec, the top-selling Merlot, and the top-selling Pinot Noir. Of note, the growth of Casillero del Diablo, which has obtained an important position with the top 10 selling brands in the UK. Currently, our distribution subsidiary have carried out 68% of our total sales of the company from the 56% registered in 2009. Another case is the Brazilian subsidiary, which has been leading the wine category in Brazil for many years. A middle step in the vertical integration are the commercial office. As important example is the commercial office in China, opening in 2013, has been supporting sales in the Chinese market, driving a major growth of 66% since the 2013. The third driver of growth is the brand building. The visibility that the company can give to its brand is the key factor. Based on a multi-region value proposal, the visibility and attractiveness of our portfolio give a good platform in order to get a strategic partnership. This is the case of the sponsorships of the Manchester United with Casillero del Diablo, the sponsorship of the Tour of France with Conosur Bicicleta, the sponsorship of the ATP Championship of Tokyo with the Viña Maipo, the sponsorship of the Premium Rugby League in the UK with Trivento, and the official wine sponsorship with Dallas Cowboys, with Conchitoro brands. All these sponsorships reflect the position of the Conchitoro brands in all the world. Adding to this strategy, sponsorship, the recognition of the specialized critics and agency is vital. Without this award, that recognize the quality and the consistency of the quality of our wines, would be impossible to collect the growth that the company has registered in the last years. Consistent high accolades recognition such as Hot Brands or Best Buy are across the company's portfolio and categories, highlighting the performance of our premium portfolio. The last driver of growth that we're facing is Fetzer Vineyard. As you know, when we acquired Fetzer Vineyards in 2011, the brands are not going good. We have faced some decrease in terms of total sales in the vineyards. In the 2015, we registered an inflection point in terms of sales, and we, quarter after quarter, we're showing a dynamism in the sales of our subsidiary in the U.S. In this slide, we want to show the reflect of this enthusiasm in the consumption of our wine, showing the depletion growth according Nielsen from the last year, 6 months, 3 months, and the last months. And in all the categories in our portfolio, we see a growth in terms of volume. So we expect that this dynamism still through the following quarters and show an extra growth from Conchitoro portfolio.
Continuing with the review of the company performance, the third half registered an increase of 11.5% in terms of sales and 8.1% in terms of volume. Stand out the performance of the multi-region portfolio, where the company registered growth in its market, in Chile, in Argentina, and the U.S., highlighting the growth in bottle sales that PetServe Vineyard registering during the quarter and the six-month period. The premium categories contributed to 11% of growth over the 8.1% of growth in total volumes. In addition, core brands such as Casillero El Diablo, Bonterra, and Triento Reserve in the premium categories registered important growth, same as the growth in brands like Reservado, Conchitoro, Cono Sur Bicicleta, and Conchitoro Exportación among the entry-level categories. The launch of the new brands in China and the launch of 1,000 stores in export market also drove the growth in the first half of 2016. In terms of EBITDA, the first half of 2016 brought an expansion of 126 basis points, reaching a margin over sales of 14.3%, totaling 43 billion of Chilean pesos. The improvement is a resultant of volume growth, a major dilution of the SG&A structure, and a positive effect derived from the FX fluctuations. In terms of the net income, the first half of 2016 registered an increase of 29.3%, totaling 20.4 billion of Chilean pesos, explained by the effects mentioned above. The results that the company has been reporting and the milestones that the company has been collecting are the resultant of a sustained investment strategy, where investment are focused on the organic growth of the company and has been supporting the growth of the premium categories. An important part, close to 70% of the investment, are being used in the acquisition of land, planting of those lands, replanting of older vineyards, and an increase of the vinification and the aging capacity, which reflects in some way the growth that or the efforts in order to produce our premium brands. Continuing with the presentation, the financial position of the company has registered higher levels of solvency and an improvement in comparison to the second quarter of 2015 and the end of 2015. As of June 30th of 2016, the company registered a leverage of 1.01 times, down from the leverage registered in the same period of 2015, as a result of a lower financial debt. An improvement of the net financial debt over EBITDA reaching 1.99 times compared to the 2.67 times registered during the second quarter of 2015. Regarding the two covenants that we are subject to comply, we can see that there is still margin leverage, which has a covenant 1.4 times as maximum, as well as the coverage of financial expenses, which has a covenant of 2.5 times as a minimum. Finally, the performance of the stock has not been performing as the analysts are estimating. Currently, the stock has 9 buy recommendations from sell-side analysts and just one hold recommendation. Regarding our peers, the company is trading with a discount regarding its historical levels and below our peers, as the table shows. You can appreciate a Constellation brand trading at 20 times in value EBITDA or a Treasury One State trading at 18 times in value EBITDA. Operator, now we can move to the Q&A section.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone at this time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the star 2 key. Questions will be taken in the order they are received. We do ask that when you pose your question, that you pick up your handset before to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we poll for questions. Our first question comes from Alex Robards of Citi. Please go ahead.
Hi, everybody. Good morning. Thank you. I had two questions, and I wanted to ask about Fetzer and then premiumization as the second question. And when I think about Fetzer, you talk about it as one of your growth drivers. And there's kind of two parts to this first question. We noticed that the pricing got a hit in the second quarter, down rather substantially to $4 and change a liter. It was 30% drop. Can you tell us a little bit about what was behind this and kind of what is the expectation for pricing going forward? Should we see it volatile, or is there a way to have a more stable pricing outlook, in your opinion? And kind of the other piece is obviously exports, which is interesting. They've been growing a lot this first half of the year. Is this driven by Canada, and do you see this double-digit export growth from Fetzer sustainable? So that's kind of the first Fetzer question, and if you don't mind, I'd like to have one last one on premiumization. Thank you.
Well, Alex, a lot of questions. regarding your first question about Fetzer, yes, we have been avoiding Fetzer as one of the growth drivers for the company. Putting in a certain framework, Fetzer for us has been the only acquisition in our history. We know and we are aware that the acquisition or the consolidation of Fetzer has been taking more time than we expected, and we had to restructure the whole company in its level, in the commercial department, commercial marketing teams, the way that Fetzer was producing wines, everything. We had to create a new route to market. We had to create this brand building. We had to invest a lot in the winery and brands. Saying that, we believe and we are confident that we have been reaching this inflection point. We are expecting growth in terms of volume for this year. Regarding your question about the pricing, the average price that dropped in the second quarter and the 6 month period, is a part of a change in the mix of sales. We are growing very fast in each category, but the entry level category for Fetzer, which are below in comparison with a premium brand like Casero Diablo, is in the price point below Casero Diablo, has been growing faster than other brands. So this decrease in terms of the average price in the domestic market is a reflect or is an effect of this change in the mix of sales. In terms of exports, as you notice, we have an important exposure to the Canadian market. The Canadian dollar has been depreciating for two consecutive years against the U.S. dollar, so the drop in the average price in export is kind of tricky because it includes the depreciation of the Canadian dollar, the sterling pound, and the Norwegian and Swedish crowns. All of this currency has been depreciating against this very strong dollar that we have seen during this year and the last year. And the other thing is that in terms of export mix of sales, obviously there is also a change in the mix of sales, explained by the similar trends in the U.S. domestic market. Anthony Skill, the launch in the global markets of this brand has been obviously brought this drop in the average price, but on the other side we are also launching new brands like this Zinfandel 1000 story that has been growing at a very attractive rate, and we believe that this will be very helpful in order to create a better premium portfolio for the exports.
Okay.
And
okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Yep. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, and the second question was about the promotion of our sales. Could you...
That's right. Yeah. The question is just a simple one. Just can you confirm today where is Conchitoro in terms of its total portfolio? In terms of volume, what is the percentage that is premium? If you could just kind of confirm that number, that would be great. Thank you.
For the premium portfolio, the premiumization. Let me check something. For the premium portfolio, the volume represent. Just one second. For the premium portfolio, the volume represent close to 30% of the total volumes, and in terms of sales, represent something like 48% of the total sales in value.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, Alex.
Again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. Our next question comes from Tiago Duarte of BTG. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Sebastian. Good morning, Patricio. Good morning, everybody. I have two questions. The first one is always a complicated one, but I would love to get a sense from you guys on how much premiumization is contributing if you look at the margin expansion that we saw in the first half of this year relative to the first half of last year. As we know, of course, grape costs have been rather favorable as well. I would say that the Chilean peso depreciation up until the first half of this year also contributed. So we'd love to get a sense from you how much from the margin expansion that we saw in the first half of this year has actually come, you believe, from this higher premium mix and how sustainable that is going forward, considering that Chilean peso has appreciated a little bit recently, and also the expectations of a weaker harvest, grape harvest this year should also bring some pressure to cost. So just want to get a sense on how your margin is based on the mix and what kind of impact we should see in the second half based on grape cost and a stronger currency. Thank you.
Well, as you said, Tiago, this is a very complex question.
Tiago, it's Sebastian. As you know, we don't make a lot of disclosure of our sales, but one of the disclosures that we can go to all of you is the premium wines have better margins and better ROIC than the non-premium wine. The premium wines allow you to invest more reserve. In the visualization of your products, in the retailers, activate more promotions, give you the capabilities to put more resources in the brand because have better margins. As you said, the one of the reasons that Contritoro start this process of premiumization is move from the low margins entry-level segment to segments that give you more space of margin. Also, this part of the portfolio is more neutral to the big changes in the costs or in the exchange rate, because that it's you have a bigger portion of own land to produce the grape, and it's more stable. The cost is more stable in the time. Give you a number of which of the expansion of the margins comes from the premiumization is not easy, because there's are many reasons that explain the expansion. The effects, the cost of the wine, the premiumization, the mix of markets, some dilution of SG&A, etc. But we are very the strategy of Contritoro to grow in this segment is very aligned with the expansion of the margins. And in the following quarters, we expect that the premiumization process is still going on, and give us the possibility of obtaining better margins that we are facing in this time. So if you see what happened in the following years for Contritoro, we expect that the premiumization is still as a driver of growth and give us the possibility of improve our margins through the time.
That's very helpful. I guess you managed to address the main points there. Thank you so much. And if I could have a follow-up question on SG&A. I mean, we saw SG&A as a percentage of sales going down this quarter to around 26% of sales. So just wondering whether we should finally start seeing some lower levels in terms of distribution costs and maybe closer to the levels that you aim to achieve in the long term. I think it's around 24-25% of sales, or whether you should see a pickup on that number in the coming quarters as far as distribution efforts go. That would be nice to see that, to hear from that as well.
Well, Thiago, as we have been talking about this, we prefer to see the SG&A expenses in an annual basis. This is a seasonal industry that has a seasonal investment and seasonal behaviors or trends that could impact in some quarters more or less, in this case, the SG&A. The first quarter, we reduced an important increase. We reached this 29% of our sales. But that was mainly explained based on all the activations and all the investment that you have to do during the first quarter in order to collect growth across the whole year. If you ask me a guidance of the SG&A levels according to sales, I would say that thinking of levels that we registered during 2014, 2015, in terms of 27% of our sales for the annual figure, makes sense for us. Why? Because as we reviewed at the beginning of this presentation, we are building low-end brands. You have to invest. There's a lot of value when you have strong brands with a good positioning, good visibility, and a higher recognition from our consumers. So thinking a dilution inflation in the coming years for the DCNA, I think that we could have keep the same levels, 27% over sales in the during this year and the 2017 and 2018, something like that in that range. After that, I think that we could expect a major dilution of the expenses over higher volumes. You have to notice that our distribution subsidiaries has been growing a lot, but they are still in this maturity process, this consolidation process. They have to reach and collect the sales that they were planning to reach. So thinking in the medium term, it starts with this dilution, makes sense, and in the long term, we should recover this 25.5, something like that, 26%, a dilution of the expenses over sales, and that could come from the expansion of our distribution network and a higher dilution of the structure of these subsidiaries over higher sales.
Perfect. Thank you. Yeah, the reason why I asked is just that the second quarter was much lower than the second quarters of previous years, but your answer was pretty clear. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. Our next question comes from Jose Jordan of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Couple of quick questions. I guess a follow-up on the impact of the production decline in this year's harvest of mid-teens there. Given that you had, I think, a higher level of, or the industry had a higher level of inventories than usual, is that likely to translate into also into a mid-teens increase in the cost of wine, or will it make a difference and make the increase in the average cost a little less than what would be implied by the volume decline in terms of liters, et cetera? And then the second question is just about Argentina domestic, right? The volumes doubled. You mentioned that some of it was an extraordinary increase due to bulk wines, et cetera. But even when excluding that, it was a pretty large increase. So if you can give us some idea of what to expect from Argentina in the rest of the year and into next year, that would be great.
Well, Jose, regarding your first question, yes, the wine industry is having higher inventory levels. In fact, at the end of 2015, the inventories of the wine industry in Chile were close to 1.3 billion liters. The harvest of this year was down in the range of 21%. That decrease or this drop impacted mostly the red varieties. White varieties weren't impacted by the rains that took place during April. But these high levels of inventories has been allowing us to mitigate the important drop that we registered in the harvest. If the harvest, the grape production, and dropped 21%, we should expect something like mid single digit to 8% a maximum in that range of and a high increase of the cost of the wine. And it will come mainly from a higher cost due to the dilution of the whole structure that we have set for the vinification in lower amount or lower kilos of grapes that are being vinified during this year. So the impact in terms of cost is lower than the drop that we registered in the grape production during the harvest of these years. And the second quarter, on the second sorry, question regarding the Argentinian domestic, yes, if you exclude the impact or the result of these non-recurrent bulk wine sales that we registered in the quarter, we have been seeing a second quarter more dynamic, and this is mainly due to the and a higher confidence from the Argentinian consumers in the domestic markets and the collective bargaining that or paritaria that they took place during this quarter. The readjustment of their salaries helped in some way the higher consumption of wine during this quarter. And there's another important thing is that based on the positioning of Trivento brands, like Trivento Reserve, we have been capable to register growth within a Argentinian domestic market that is decreasing in terms of consumption. So aligned with the growth is also the positioning of our Argentinian portfolio that has been allowing us to gain market share and have a better performance among our peers in the Argentinian domestic market.
Yes. Complementing that, Jose, in the last year, because of the economics and the politics in Argentina, there's many lines of products that they're not capable to register positive margins in the local market. So we need to cut a lot of products in the last years. Because of the change in the economics and the capability to increase prices in the local market, we are facing new opportunities in order to reach extra volume and create a profitability business. And we are taking this opportunity and adding more lines of business of extra more products in the sales in local market in Argentina.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot.
Thanks to you.
Thank you. This concludes our question and answer session, and thus concludes today's presentation. You may now disconnect your line at this time. Have a nice day.